Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers, Professor Porterfield in Denton, Texas, of ProfessorPorterfield.com. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, well, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to the phones in just a moment. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee.
Hi.
Well, I have an announcement to make to all of those people who've been asking me about this in Facebook. If you follow our Facebook feed for the Lucky Mojo Shop, you will have read about the great special oil number 20 spill of 2015. I am here to report the rug still smells like special oil number 20 and day one and counting. I will probably supply reports through the years. What happened, folks, was this. I was busy writing a book called Paper in My Shoe, and we're going to talk about that in a little moment. And so instead of coming down to the shop to make special oil number 20 at the picnic table outside or one of the places where I work, I said to Yose, come on up, bring up all the ingredients for special oil number 20 and bring up a stainless steel bread pan and, a little paper bag or something to set it on, and I'll make it up here at the head of my stairs on the hall rug. So we set everything up. It was all in the bread pan, blah, blah, blah. Everything's on little cardboard and little paper bags. I have paper napkins. And at some point in making all of the ingredients go together for the stock oil, I knocked the bottle very slightly. Just the tiniest little drip came out. And Yose, reacting with the speed of a cheetah, rushed it right the bottle. And when she did so, she hit the pan, and a whole nother batch of oil went over. And we had bottles flying everywhere, and they were all open caps. And now we have a rug that smells really good.
I know.
And the rug smells like special oil number 20.
It is a good smell.
And, it's a great smell. It's great. However, it's getting a little difficult to live up here. We have the windows open, and I really feel like I am very special right now. So, yes, to all of those who were curious about how long would this last, it's very much with us. I may have to take the rug outside. Not that I don't like special oil number 20, but it's like, can your whole life be turned in that direction all the time? Well, actually, it could, because special oil number 20 has ingredients for love, for money, for luck, for health and healing, and for protection, and basically for everything good. So if it was going to be any one oil that smelled, better special oil number 20 than destruction oil, damnation oil, or doom oil on the
right.
Yeah. Yes. In the chat room, and I want to say hi to all the chat people, Madam Samantha says, paper towel blotting party. Oh, yes, we already had two rounds of paper towel blotting parties. The paper towels are gone, and the rug lingers on. Yes. Somebody asked in the chat room, Mile High Mojo says, put it in the church. That would be great, except for the church is the smallest church in the world, and I think the rug is bigger than the floor of the church. So good idea, but that ain't going to fly either. Yes, yes, yes. So that's where we're at. Oh, and Papa G says, happy birthday to me. Well, let's just say
happy birthday
to Papa G in the chat room. We've got a bunch of people here, and I just want to say happy birthday to Papa G because he is a great guy, member of AIR, and has been on this show before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask Conjurman Ali, how are you doing today, buddy?
I am doing well. Thanks for asking. Slightly chuckling to myself at the paper towel blotting party. I thought that's hilarious. Or blotting party. I think that's absolutely hilarious. I've been quite busy this week. It's as I think because both of us are very similar astrologically, we both have been busy with writing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like yourself, because I've been hearing about it from you. You guys are busy with writing and the bringing out of books. I've been busy on my writing deadlines that I'm trying to keep up with. So it's been a busy, busy week. But I wouldn't have it any other way. And I've had a really interesting rash of clients looking for reconciliation work. And you know how I am. I always note the kind of ebbs and flows of clients. And so I think as spring has come upon us, love and romantic sentiment is in the air, and people are looking for reconciliation, and people are looking for love. And that's the type of work that I'm doing. And you know what? It's fantastic. The entire house smells great. The candles look beautiful. The jars are all gorgeous with their pink wax on them. So it's really nice because I have this reputation of doing really dark and heavy work sometimes. A client once called me the special forces of root work, going in there and dealing with other root workers, going in there dealing with crossing and dealing with spirits that are dark and hauntings and exorcisms. So it's nice to have this break and just do love work and do reconciliation work and bringing about happy couples. So I'm in a great mood.
Oh, great. That's really, really good. Well, I'm so glad to hear it. And you and I have been like locked in our little writing cages.
Yeah.
I intend to come out
so
and learn from mine soon. I'm missing spring here by writing so much. And
I know. I'm calling it the writing cocoon.
Yeah, the writing cocoon. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's bad. Well, I got involved in editing a bunch of books too, and helping and typesetting them. So that's I as usual bit off more than I can chew, or the books were later than I thought they would be, or something. I don't know. So it's chaotic out here in my world. And I got to say a special thank you to Nagashiva Ironwood, my husband, who has been hanging in with me through thick and thin. Late nights, frayed tempers, lost pages, missed opportunities to eat dinner, and many other problems,
wow.
And he has been just the most faithful, loyal companion, and this one was more rough than the last one. So last year I thought was as rough as it got. This year is rougher because one of the books is mine, and I put my own book on hold to get everybody else's book at the press, and now we're down to the wire here. And I also
both amazing.
Yeah, and I also want to give a big shout out to Gray Wolf Townsend, who has been just a mention a half. I mean, Gray, I could not have done this without you. And to our special guest. Well, you knew where I was going with that. And to our special guest, come on in, Professor Porterfield.
Hello,
wonderful Professor Porterfield.
Yeah. Well, Professor Porterfield, I want you to introduce yourself, but before you do, I'm going to introduce you just a moment. Charles D. Porterfield is the host and all of the guests on the Now You Know show. Is that? if you're not familiar with the Now You Know show, which airs every Thursday evening. You owe it to yourself to give it a try. There's nothing quite like it in the realm of conjure, and there hasn't been much quite like it in the realm of radio for a long time. It's a very old-fashioned show. And all right, Charles, tell us what's up with you. You've got a new book coming out, and we did a show on that, but tell us what else is happening in your life, or tell us more about that book.
Well, what's going on here is we finally got a nice, relaxing Shabbos here without road trips to East Texas or funerals or sudden re-edits or labors in the book mines where I have been with you and the rest. And it's been a lovely time, although we have had some terrific thunderstorms here for the last 48 hours, and we have one rolling in now. I hope that I'll be able to make it through the show. So if you suddenly hear a flash of explosive lightning, that was probably me going away. But outside of that, the news I have in my life is that yesterday, after long awaiting it and some difficulties with it getting lost in shipping, I got a brand new, well, not brand new, but let us say for me, a new antique shell black doctor's bag. The old one finally gave up the ghost, and so I went out a-searching for a new one, and baby, this one's great.
Wonderful.
It's just, it looks like it has just been preserved in a museum all these many, many long
decades. That is very cool.
Yeah, I got a, for all of those listening, you know, and years to come, and they go, what are you talking about? There are doctor's bags and there are doctor's bags. And it depends on kind of, you know, like where you're at. But the Shell brand of doctor's bag is the good brand of doctor's bag. They come in several sizes. If you all want a doctor's bag, that's the one to get. There are many others, and there's good starter bags that you can get on eBay. We sell some packed up, and we also sometimes have a shell or two to sell. And wow, what are you going to do with your old shell? Is it salvageable?
Well, it's probably salvageable, and I will probably pass it along to another worker who has need, someone younger who's looking to start out, you know.
Congratulations, and well, folks, that is not a minor investment. And it's the mark of a true root doctor to have a really good bag. Now, that brings to mind Miss Phoenix LaFay's book, Hoodoo Altars and Shrines, Hoodoo Shrines and Altars, excuse me. She has a whole section in there on doctor's bags. And those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, get her book, Hoodoo Shrines and Altars, and read about it. The custom root doctor's bags are a real interesting thing that Charles and I, actually, you and I, were the first ones to make and sell these.
That's correct.
And we've had so much fun. Let's put another one together when you're out here. Okay?
I will. I'll be out there early.
Yeah. You know, you're going to be out here for the apprenticeship week and with your beautiful wife, Christy Mrs. Porterfield, or Christy Mrs. Dr. Porterfield. Or
Frau Professor.
What are we going to call her?
Frau Professor Porterfield.
Frau Professor Porterfield. And I happen to have a stash of used doctor's bags in varying degrees of condition. And I have a feeling that this might be something fun to do with the apprentices. Well, let's pack up some doctor's bags. Let's make some doctor's bags. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to do?
Yeah, let's get the saddle soap and the shoe polish out.
Yeah, we're going to get out the saddle soap and the shoe polish, and we're going to pack up some doctor's bags, and then we'll have some custom bags to sell because they always sell out. Usually, they sell out within a week to a month. I mean, I announce them, they're gone.
Those bags are amazing. I purchased one from you, and you customized it. You knew what I needed and what type of work I do. And I tell you, it's one of my cherished possessions. I take that thing with me whenever I do client visits, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Well, they're great, and we make them in different styles. You know, like the diviner's bag, the blessing only bag for house calls and house cleaning.
Yep.
You know, the church doctor's bag. We have different styles. We have fun working with, I guess you could call them, the personality types of people that we know, making a bag that would suit that person. Of course, you can also just ask for a custom bag and to put your own list of ingredients in, and we'll put it all together for you.
And my favorite one was the one that we based around that old jump rope rhyme, Cinderella Dressed in Yellow. Mm-hmm. We did the lady with the alligator purse.
That's right, the lady with the alligator purse, that's right. That was a great one. And I haven't found another alligator purse since then, unfortunately. You know, there's also ones that we do in vanity suitcases, you know, little train vanity suitcases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're fun. And I also have some cheaper ones that are made in little made-in-China cases, you know. They're nice, they're good starter bags.
But yes, I am going to be out there with Frau Porterfield, and my mother is coming. So there you go. If you're wanting
well,
to meet
she
my
may
mom.
Enjoy. Yeah, she may. Yeah. She may enjoy doing that kind of art project too. I look forward to meeting her. Well, we're supposed to be talking about my book.
That's
so
right. I wanted to say that's what I'm here to talk about tonight.
Right.
This afternoon.
Right. So
it is my rare pleasure to get. I have almost never been able to do this. So, it is my rare pleasure to get to introduce to you all, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, Miss Catherine Ironwood and her book, which I have gotten to see. And let me tell you something, if you don't get this book, you're way missing out. I have had the rare treat and honor to get to help proofread this book, and baby, it's fantastic. It's called Paper in Your Shoe. So, what's it about? Catherine?
Well, it's about the use of name papers, petition papers, and prayer papers. Paper in My Shoe is actually a line from an old song by Buzu Chavis. And I'm going to explain it, and we can play that song, and you'll understand. It's an ambiguous song. What's it about? When I was young, someone said, oh, he's really saying pebble in my shoe. Well, he has a French-Cajun accent, but the name on the record label is Paper in My Shoe, and he called it Paper in My Shoe. But some people say, nah, that's really pebble in my shoe. There couldn't be such a thing as a paper in your shoe. Why would anyone want a paper in their shoe? Then someone else said, well, you know, a paper in your shoe, that means his shoe soles are so wore out that he had to put a piece of paper or cardboard to keep the water from coming in. Mm-mm. Then somebody asked somebody who was Buzu Chavis' cousin, well, what's it? No, it means he has a marriage license in his shoe. And that's why it says, what your mama don't allow and your papa don't like, I got a paper in my shoe. And what he's saying is, he says, don't you worry about your baby. So he's saying to the girl, it's okay that you're pregnant. I have a marriage license already in my shoe. Well, why would he be carrying a marriage license in his shoe? Can you imagine the whole 1960s and 70s, people just sat around and asked questions about this song? What's it mean, folks? What's it mean? Well, what it means is he had a paper in his shoe. And paper in your shoe, for those of you who do know hoodoo and have worked in hoodoo tradition, can refer to any number of foot track magic charms which you wear and carry in your shoe. And they can be some of the more famous ones might be a court case where you put the disciples of Jesus in your shoe, or, you know, a business card of a person who's going to job interview you. You put their business card in your shoe and you dominate and rule and control them. And it's often used to dominate and rule and control a lover. And so this song has been kicking around in my head for years. Got a paper in my shoe, and it's a totally toneless song. I mean, this is not a melodic piece, and as those who know me know, I really like melody a whole lot. Like, melody is my thing in music. You know, melody and tempo and scansion, and those are the things that drive my interest in music. This hasn't got much of that. This is just a song. But it was one of those mysteries, and it got deeper and wider and thicker, and so that word just kind of popped up as the title of a book. Now, why am I writing a book about papers? Because everybody said, oh, I know how to write out a paper. I saw her book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic. It shows how to write out a paper. Right? And indeed, in my book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, which came out in 2002, there are, I think, 4 or 5 examples of how to write out a paper. Well, folks, you've been misled, and it was not my fault nor my intention. I assumed that everybody who would buy the book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, would already know how to write a paper. It didn't even occur to me that all these newbies and fellow travelers and white kids would come and say, hey, I want to be a hoodooist now. They would take the 5 examples in my book as the way to write a name paper. No, folks, those were the ways to write very unusual name papers, so unusual that I had to make a picture of them. And they were also the ways to write name papers so fun for me as a typesetter that I could use a very primitive, older-fashioned typesetting program, much improved now, but in 2002, where you could not write on a curve. You had to write on these little incremental sections of straight lines. And I knew that any typesetter who looked at that one that said, love, 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 would go, holy shit, it took her an hour and a half to do that, which it did. So that was my little typesetting triumph. But no, those were actually not the most common ways to make name papers. And over the years, people began to codify and, make stupid rules, I guess is the word I want to say. Make stupid rules about, oh, a cat said you have to write the name 7 times and cross it with the other names. Or cat said in this other one you have to write it 9 times and cross it 9. And I'm like, are you guys for real? I mean, yes, I said that, but that was for that spell, not this other spell. And then it got to the point, and this is where I finally cracked, where I had a very, very nice middle-aged black woman from Alabama call me up. She wanted a reading, and we were talking about root work she could do for her situation. She says, I saw your book. She says, but I write my name papers a different way. Is it okay? And I thought, oh, no, now it's gone too far. See, these few weird examples that I thought were so exciting that I put them in a book now threaten to become dogmatic. They threaten to become authoritarian, and I did not mean it that way. So this book is not a book I expect to have be a great seller, but it's a book to correct a wrong that I unintentionally perpetrated and to show people the many ways to write a name paper, why, how, and what you can do with them, and then to give, you know, several, many, many, many pages of spells that show those papers in use. Now, some of these spells are pickups from earlier publications of mine, just to give an example, how to use a name paper to do this, how to use that and the other. But the major part of the book is in it's in three parts. The major part of the book is the spells. The second largest part is the introduction, which is about the use of paper charms all around the world. And those of you who know me know that all around the world is my middle name, and or as we sometimes say, from many cultures and many eras. And so the first part of the book covers things that you know, other cultures' uses of papers, written magic, including glyphic, diagrammatic, numerological, and other forms of written paper. And those of you who've read my book, Throwing the Bones, will know that I can go on and on and on and on in length recommending really cool academic books for you. And that's what I do. The second part of the book is the meat of correcting the wrong, showing all the ways you can write a name, what you can do. And in answering that question, what do I write if I don't know the name of the person? That's the most asked question I get about names. Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is punt, you know. But there's a bunch of different ways to punt. So that's what the book is about. And then the concluding part of the book are the spells. So there's crossing spells, love spells, money spells that use papers. And our old friend, the success sigil, will be reprinted one more time. Don't get bent out of shape when you see it one more time. It has to be in this book, you know. So that is what's in the book. All right. Now, I can tell you that there are going to be people who, when they see this book, they're going to flip out because it's going to be a new authoritarianism for it and them. It's going to be a new set of rulemaking. And they're going to go, well, it's not in that book. Well, folks, if I get to the second edition, I may revise it, you know.
Well, I have to tell you, I have had the rare privilege of looking inside almost every single book that's coming out this year. Certainly, I had a good deep look inside Deck of Spells, but and I'm looking forward to every one of these books. Every one of these books is a really good book. I mean, I'm happy that I'm going to be getting a copy of all of these. I'm going to be taking these home and just poring over them in relaxation instead of having to go, where's the comma? Is that first letter capped? Wait a minute, why isn't that in bold? But I have to be completely honest here. All of these books are excellent, but the book I am looking forward to taking home, more so even than my own book, is this book, Paper in My Shoe by Catherine All Around the World, Ironwood. It's a really, really good book, guys. I mean, seriously.
I think there's a very important need for the book as well. It's to a certain extent, it's back to the basics, right? Like, let's go back, because y'all have missed the point, right?
Right.
And I think that's what I really appreciated about the book. And one of the great things is that, back to the basics, but there's some serious power in that. We've gotten to this point, and this is just a personal, anecdotal, you know, experience, I'll say, where I see younger workers or people who are just starting out, they think that somehow the more elaborate, the more power, right? And so you've got people who've got altars with 30 different candles, jars, and roots, you know, from the depths of the ocean. And I'm sitting there going, you know, some people just wrote down a petition, folded up, and carried it in a bag. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I love books like this, and there's no one better to write it than you, because you bring in a background of wealth of knowledge, and then you make it practical. You go, look, here's the experience, here's the worldwide tradition, here's what you can do. So it's a book that people have to get. They really have to get.
Well, you know, I just hope it's useful. It's actually, the truth is, I couldn't make anybody else write this book because it's not going to sell well. It's a book that anyone could pick up in an occult shop, flip through it and go, oh, I get it, and not buy the book, right?
Yeah, and they would be missing out, I'm telling you.
Yeah, they
really
might.
Would.
But, I mean, I could put it on a web page, I guess. But I wanted to put it in a book because I really felt that it is time to show people the wealth and beauty of hoodoo in its diversity, and stop this channeling of hoodoo into these narrow streams of right and wrong.
Yes,
and even some people
that I
have admired greatly, I've had people call me up and say, well, you know, I went to so-and-so, and this might be some friend of mine, and they told me you must write the name an odd number of times. And I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Rulemaking. I have a question for you as an author who wrote this book, if you don't mind. While you're writing this book and while you're doing research for this book and coming across these various examples of petition papers and papers used in hoodoo around the world, what was the one that really struck out to you as really unique, different, or just fascinating? Like, well, wow, I really, you know, that was interesting. Just
can,
a little teaser, if you don't mind.
Well, I can answer that, actually. Well, first of all, of course, I wanted to put the true length of Mary up because I've been talking about that thing, and I even, in my course book, I even have a link to a non-existent page, all right, because I never scanned them, and all. Thanks to Gray Wolf Townsend for cleaning them up. And so that was one of them, to put the true length of Mary up. But the one that I got the most thrill out of was a student of mine named Denise Rome. She is student number 1950. She graduated, and she turned in because one of the course assignments is to turn in a petition paper. And day after day. I mean, I've had like over 2,000 students, and they turn in petition papers copied from the book Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, three times three with a circle, love, love, love around it. Whatever. They just turn in the same damn. They don't even turn in the one that's square. They don't even turn in any of it. Just that one over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's in fact on the cover of Paper in My Shoe, which is a Nagashiva drew that one with round and round in a circle. That's fine. But this gal is a 64-year-old black woman. She knows her business, see? So she turned in her homework assignment. She wasn't going to copy me. She turned in the way she did a petition paper. Raised a Baptist, joined the Spiritualist Church, joined Unity, and as she said, I tried the Quran. I love the way she said that. I tried the Quran. And she turned in a petition, and I'm going to put it in here, and what it says, petition, and it has two crosses on it, like Christian crosses. And it says protection. And then it says underneath this, in her handwriting, surely as I trust in God, I know you will take care of me from all evil. You are a shield and no one can harm me. You can have evil forces work for good. I beseech thee to protect me from all evil. my petition. And then it has a space for the time of the prayer and the name. And then it says, God, I call on you to fill this request. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that is a real petition.
That's great.
Yeah,
and
that
is a lady,
amazing.
That's a lady of my age. I'm 67. She's 64. And my heart, when I saw that one, my heart just really went out to her. That's who I'm trying to convey to the public, not these strange little petitions that I found so unusual, but that's a normal petition. So yeah, that was the one that moved me the most, and it will be in the book.
Well, that's an old school petition too, right? Like they call this along the same lines of the letters to God that people used to write.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I love that. Love that.
Yeah. So there's a few other odd ones in there, but that's, you know, you asked which one made the most impact on me.
Yeah.
I also put in another one that I have not publicized before, which is where you take a name and you put a glyph between every letter. Like it could be a heart, it could be a cross, it could be a skull, whatever you want to put between every letter, right? And then you write all the letters out, and then you write it down with the glyph going down, and you end up with a square, right? It's like a magic square with the glyphs checkerboard between the letters of the name, which repeat over and over and over again. And another one that's my favorite. So as an example, John Brown would be J cross O cross H cross N cross B cross R cross O cross and W cross N cross, right? And then the next line begins with a cross. And you can see it in the book. And it's a very nice way to make it. The other thing that's in the book that, again, people really don't seem to know is how to fold a petition. Everyone thinks you fold away, you fold towards. Honey, there's a many, many more way to fold a petition than that. And fold from the corners, fold into a seed packet. There are many ways to fold a petition. And again, some of this has been lost through the internet and its constant copying of a few little things that I put in print in 2002.
Now, it also goes into not just how to write a petition and the various ways, but then what to do with the petition afterwards, right? Like paper in my shoe. That's the second portion of it.
Right. That's right. How to put them under a candle, how to put them under in your shoe, how to tear them, how to cut them, how to burn them to ashes, how to dissolve them in water and use the water to bathe or to clean house with. Yeah, all of those ways. Or drink, that's right. So, all of those are going to be covered. And also, of course, what do you write on? Parchment paper. Do you write on the, parchment of animal skins? Do you write on a shopping bag? I once published that an old lady told me that a brown paper shopping bag would do. Now everybody's got this idea that everybody in Hoodoo writes on a brown paper shopping bag. Well, that ain't true. In fact, that lovely petition I read you by Denise, that one was on lined copy paper. And the funny thing, and it made me embarrassed, to fold it up, she folded it up in a piece of brown shopping bag paper, probably because she thought to please me. And I thought, oh, no.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I love this work. I love this work. And there's a real history behind written petitions, and this is what people are also getting in the book, and this is what's so important. You know, you said you're doing kind of a world survey of it, but I think the history of it is very important. It ties into cultures and ideas, and where writing, the very concept of writing, is sacred, right? Mm-hmm. It's an act of creation, an act that lines you up with God. Because God is considered to be the great author in a lot of cultures, right? The book of life or the book of the universe. And the act of writing, you know, putting pen to paper or whatever to paper, or writing in general, is a very powerful, magical act. In fact, the very word spell has strong connections with writing and speaking. Mm-hmm. So I think it's wonderful. They're really getting a lot. And I love the format of these books. You know, they're small books. They pack a hard punch. They're affordable. But you get so much. You get a world survey. You get history. You get links, you know, to further research if you're interested in doing it. And then right down to practical what you can do to get started, what you can do to harness this power.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And there's some other things, too, that are mentioned in this book, which go back a ways, ways back. Inscribing and carving on wax and inscribing on lead sheets. So we don't use lead sheets no more. But have you ever heard of inscribing on aluminum foil?
Yes, I have, actually.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's another thing that people nowadays have forgotten. They just don't, I mean, because it's not on the Internet, because no one said, Cat Ironwood said to inscribe on aluminum foil, it's not on the YouTube videos about instant hoodoo. Right. Well, it'll be on there as soon as this book comes out. You see.
Right, yes, absolutely. Yeah, May 21st, up they go. So,
all
and
of a sudden we'll
then,
have a rash
what
of people
side?
Doing
dull side or shiny
foil.
Side?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Which side of the aluminum foil? That's right. Well, you know, all this stuff is a shared cultural treasure of Black Americans. And what I hate to see is to see it all perverted. But on the other hand, there are no limits on what can be adopted or adapted. I have seen people who come out of the Black tradition in the East Bay using Chinese joss paper to write on. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's got gold foil on it. Gold foil is money. Well, let's use it. You know,
that's right.
And they're not using it the way the Chinese people did as spirit money. They're using it as a petition paper.
Right. And of course, there is a big difference between adaptation and that word mentioned every week almost on the Now You Know show, malformation.
Malformation and appropriation. That's right.
That's right.
Well, I'm gonna ask here, because we're coming up on our time. I'd like Nagashiva to throw on a piece of music. Let's hear Buzu Chavis doing Paper in My Shoe and bring this to a conclusion. And we'll come back after that with some announcements and go to our readings, okay?
Do you want to lead in from Dr. Love?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. Now listen up, ladies and gentlemen, because we're about to have a very fine piece of music here from Wilson Anthony Buzu Chavis. That's right, the Creole cowboy, the king of Zydeco. If he's wrong, you're wrong too.
I got a paper name of you. I got a paper name of you. I got a paper name of you. Oh, why your mama don't know? Oh, why your papa don't lie? Oh, why your mama don't know? And why your papa don't lie? Got a paper name of you. Okay, but be the mother, yeah. Okay, but be the mother, yeah. What are the mommy calling it by? What are the papa? What are the mommy calling it by? What are the papa? Okay, but be the mother, yeah. Mama don't know why your papa don't lie. Say the paper name of you.
And y'all, the lucky mojo hoodoo root worker. And y'all, the lucky mojo hoodoo root worker with your host, Catherine Ironwood, and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Professor Porterfield in Denton, Texas. We'll be right back. And we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Timmy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the pump phones and take our first new client. And our first new client is actually calling in from area code 405 from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. This is Mage. Mage, are you there, caller? Mage?
Mm-hmm.
Mage, can you hear us? Mage?
Uh-oh. Well, let's go ahead with Mage's thing, because Mage actually didn't want a reading. Mage wanted root work advice, and I'm glad to give it. If you could just read the question, I'll be glad to work on it.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. I found my soulmate 4 years ago, and it took her 3 years to divorce to be with me. She was engaged to me for about 6 weeks and then immediately remarried her ex-husband for legality's sake and the children so as to have an open marriage where we could date indefinitely. I want to eliminate her relationship with her husband and have her become consumed with the dream of marrying me. And I'd like your advice on how to make this happen. Turning it back over to y'all.
All right. Well, is Mage there? Still not there. All right. Well, we're just going to go on then. So this is not a question for a reading other than, is this possible to be successful? And sometimes we will start with a little reading like that, but I'm just going to talk about the question for a moment here. All right. This person uses the word soulmate. Well, that's always a red flag to me. And I don't know if you all, thinking that, but soulmate to me says things like I'm obsessed and I don't care what the world thinks. But it takes two to make soulmates. If you don't feel like your soulmate, you can't be her soulmate. It can't be one way. Soulmate cannot be a one way relationship. So if she don't want to marry you, then I would not call her a soulmate. I would say a potential soulmate, but not if she don't want to be with you completely, 100%, the way you want it to be. Then your two souls are not mated. You may be like ships that pass the night. You may be like birds of a feather that flock together. But soulmates require mutuality. That's just my opinion. All right, now gonna go on, and then it says it took her 3 years to divorce to be with me. Well, that's average. That makes sense. It's average. She was engaged to me for 6 weeks and then immediately remarried. Whoa. She was engaged to me for 6 weeks and then immediately remarried her ex-husband. That doesn't sound too much like a soulmate. That sounds like somebody who's got cold feet. For legality's sake and the children. Well, there are some good reasons to remain in a marriage. As some of us know and some of us do not know, if you have not been married to someone for 10 years, 10 years and a day, cannot collect survivor's benefits from their Social Security if they were to die. And there are many people who wish to have some marriage break up, and they say, oh, they've got cold feet or they got chicken or whatever. But no, they need that 10 years of marriage so that they can get the survivor benefits in a time to come. So talk about these things. This is for real. This is for real. And you might want to understand it more than for legality, but for the Social Security benefits. Because why lose those benefits and why lose it, you know, if you don't have to? And I'm speaking as one who my mother ended up with survivor benefits of my father. They were married 14 years, but they'd broken up in 1954, and she was still collecting benefits in 2005 because his other wife had his second wife had died, and he died, and the benefits accrued to her. So there are reasons that don't have to do with movie endings and romances, okay? So having said all of that, all right, now you want to eliminate that relationship. Well, first of all, just talk to her about why that relationship is there. If it's legality from a strictly, you know, conventional morality point of view, well, okay, but if it has some financial outcome that may be of benefit to everyone, it's worth taking a gamble on being married to someone for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? It's worth it. It's worth it. And now, you want some root work. All right. On the assumption that the person simply is not lying to you and that they are not a two-faced, you know, disassembling creep, or dissembling, I should say. Let's talk about how to split up this couple. Well, you're going to have a trouble because there are children, and the children are involved, and they don't want that split to happen. So now you have to be very gentle. So I would recommend that you use separation products more than breakup products, because you're going to have to stay connected somehow to those children. You can't have this woman totally, you know, destroy her family life and just end up with you on a desert island. That won't fly. So I would say that the biggest thing to do is to work on making her be exactly what you said, which is consumed with the dream of marrying you. Okay? So I'm going to give you some ideas. Get any paired items, and you can meld as many of these paired items as you want. The paired items can include a pair of Balm of Gilead buds, a pair of clothes, a pair of coins minted in the years of your birth on which you have inscribed with a little penknife your initials and your date of birth, a pair of roots such as a High John the Conqueror and a Queen Elizabeth root, or any two roots that represent the two of you. Different people have different things. Sometimes a root is named after someone, and they'll use that name. Like, maybe their name is Solomon. Well, they're not going to use a John the Conqueror root because their name ain't John. So you can, but two roots, you know, you can either get a male and female roots. You can get two female, two male, or named roots that have some sort of a connection. But roots are good, okay? Another thing that you can do is pairs, a cowrie shell, a little tiny cowrie shell, and a little crystal or stone or carving that represents a penis if you're male. Again, two cowrie shells if it was two women, or two penis-shaped things if it was two men. And each one of these pairs, each one you're going to bind together separately. It's going to be a whole pile of these collections of these pairs, two lodestones, right? Everything in pairs. Each one, you put them together and you prepare them as if that was the only thing you were preparing, right? The two loads. And you put them together, and each one you can wrap. Some of them, sometimes people will do this where you wrap them up in a little piece of paper and you write your two names crisscrossed on it, and you wrap each one up in a little paper. Some people stop at three pairs and they say, I'm going to make a trio hand. But you can keep going. You can make as many things as you want. But don't put them all loose. See, don't put in two cloves and an Adam and Eve root and two Balm of Gileads all separate. They're all going to bubble together. You want to put each one in a little packet. Pray over each one. May we be joined as these two things. May we be joined. Build it. Take some time. You don't have to build it all on the same day. When you're working on a project like this, keep them under a turned-over saucer and you can have a petition paper, you know, that we be married. I would use the Ten of Cups card from the Tarot. Make a photocopy or download, print it. And I would use that to lay everything on while I was working. It shows a happy couple with some children who may be stepchildren. You can use that as sort of an image. You can burn candles on it while you're working on it. But as you get it assembled, when you finally get it all together, you're going to have a little mojo bag that's going to be very, very dedicated to that one proposition. And that is my advice. All right. How about Charles? What do you say?
Well, first of all, I agree with everything that's been said completely, and this is a very delicate matter. And so understanding that I am not using the word dog to mean someone that is unfaithful or a player, the first thing I would like to say about this situation is a quote from my great-grandmother, who used to say, "A dog that will bring a bone will take a bone." You have to examine this situation that you've got here, Mage. You have an individual who has agreed to leave her husband to come to be with you, who has gone back to that husband, and has agreed to have an open marriage so that you could then date indefinitely. Now, you're now asking for permanency. You're now asking for dedication. So in other words, you have someone who's saying to you, oh, I can have this open relationship, we can see others, I'll merely be married to my husband for legality's sake and for the sake of the children, yada, yada, yada. And you're saying, ah, but I want the whole ball of wax. I want it all. And those two things don't go together, okay? That's like oil and water. So in other words, you've enjoyed the benefit, and now it's time to pay the piper. So you have to kind of sit down and think about what you're saying here. You're trying to set up an opposite situation from the situation that you yourself have enjoyed. Then the next thing I would say is that any situation with a married couple who's not just at each other's throats that has children has to be handled with morals, ethics, and delicacy. Because at the end of the day, what we really don't want is to damage those children's lives, put them in harm's way, destroy their family for our own desires. That's the hallmark of, and I'm not saying you do want this, but I'm saying that there are some people who just don't give a damn. And that's kind of the hallmark of someone who's, oh, you know, you kind of want to avoid someone like that. So I would say sit down and really consider all of those things. Now, that may not come to anything other than I still want what I want because the heart wants what it wants. And so my advice to you would be this, and it is somewhat in line or following after what Miss Kat said. You're going to go and you're going to get yourself two lodestones. These don't have to be very big lodestones, a male and a female. You're going to name one for yourself, baptize it for yourself. You're going to name one for her, baptize it for her. But then you're also going to get smaller lodestones. And you're going to get smaller lodestones in an equal number to the children. All right? Because if you love this woman, then by God, you best love her children. Okay? That's the way the world works. You're going to get those lodestones and you're going to name those lodestones for her children. All right? If you say, oh, I can't find out how many children she has or I don't know their names, then you need to immediately stop the relationship and sit back and really consider what's going on here. This is like the old question of what's their birthday? And somebody says, oh, I don't know their birthday. Oh, come on. How much are you actually, you know, soulmates if you don't know their birthday? You're going to name those smaller lodestones for the children. You're going to put those lodestones with her lodestones. They're all going to be touching, okay, her and the children. You're going to keep their love together. And you're going to feed them with magnetic sand. Now, at the same time, you're going to purchase or acquire a piece of pyrite. And the pyrite you're going to name for the rival or for the husband. Why pyrite? Because it's fool's gold. It looks like gold. It looks like something you want, but it's not really the real deal. And you're going to start off with her and the children all together with the piece of pyrite that is the rival of the husband, and then day by day you're going to be moving them away from that named piece of pyrite towards your lodestone, attracting and feeding all with magnetic sand, not feeding the pyrite, obviously, every day moving it closer and closer, and you're going to do this, oh, you're going to do this for about 9 days, okay? You're going to start on a Sunday, go through. And as you move them closer and closer, you're going to read aloud Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul to thee, thus showing your dedication, your love, and your trust, and your acceptance of her and the children. That's my advice.
Wow. I just got to make a comment here before we go to Ali on this. Using the pyrite for the husband is interesting because, remember, I mentioned the Social Security aspects and the survivor's benefit. Pyrite is a money attractor, but it's non-magnetic. It's non-magnetic.
Right.
So, yes, he is not magnetic, but he can supply money. Brilliant, brilliant thinking, Charles. All right, Ali, what would you recommend?
What I would do, I love all the suggestions here, and I think they're fantastic. Unlike working in situations like this and, you know, on the mind, before I get into that, I just want to say one real quick thing. Ms. Kat touched on this, but you really have to ask yourselves, when it comes to the definition of a soulmate, you have to understand that soulmates have a variety of different definitions, and they're not always romantic. But when people use it in the romantic sense, and it's not reciprocated in the same fashion, there's a problem there. And so you really want to take a step back and ask, these are great suggestions, but you need to ask yourself, is this really what you want? Are you being honest with yourself? Is this relationship fair to you? And are you going to be happy getting what you want? Because you may think the idea of this person is fantastic, and you may think that it'll be all happy, but I don't know, a person who's engaged for 6 weeks then leads you to go get remarried, that says something there. So just bear that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a bit of old wisdom from a Taurus who looks at this and goes, I'm not so sure. Okay, so what would I do in a situation like this? I would work on her mind. You want her to really think about you and only you, and you want her to direct all that romantic desire and energy towards you so you can have some form of balance. What I would do is I would get two photos of her. I want you to, on the back of these photos, write her name, her date of birth, her astrological sign, whichever way to connect her. If you have a personal concern, you can add that there. You can put up a bit of her hair there, a tissue with sexual fluids, whatever it is that you have, you want to put it on there. And you're going to put a pinch of calamus on the back of the photo, and then you're going to fix them together so that they're facing outward. You're going to make a little card so that it's a little package with the photos facing outward and their names and calamus and the personal concern on the inside of that. You're going to poke a little hole at the top of that, and you are going to tie a string, okay? And you are going to, for 3 days, you're going to take this little package and you are going to smoke it in some come to me, love me, and follow me girl incense. So you're going to mix them all together, and you are going to swing that, allowing the smoke to rise up, and you are going to speak to her, and you're going to call to her, and you're going to say, come to me. You are drawn to me. Wherever you are thinking of me. So once you've done that for 3 days, what you're then going to do is you're going to get yourself a jar, okay? Get yourself a nice big mason jar, something that you can manipulate if you have larger fingers. Nothing small, because you want to be able to fix the photos. You want to be able to hang the photo inside the jar. What you're going to do is at the top of the jar and the bottom of the jar, you are going to get yourself the fifth pentacle of Venus, okay? And you're going to write your petition on the back of the fifth pentacle of Venus. You can print these out online, or you can get the Hoodoo Jukebox where it comes with all these seals. So you could pick that up. And I think Lithimoj also sells them separately, if I'm not mistaken. So you could do that as well. You can get them. You're going to write the petition on the back. You're going to anoint this with this same combination of oils that you use for the incense, and you're going to put this at the top of the jar and the bottom of the jar. Then, around the jar in a ring, you're going to get a photo of you and her together. So something that you've taken, a memory, something significant. So it shouldn't be a random photo. It shouldn't be a weird selfie from Facebook. I want something memorable, you know, that time that you guys went on a dinner date, that time when you guys, you know, had your first kiss, whatever it is, a photo from that. And if you don't have a photo of you guys together, that is a warning sign, but you can go ahead and use your photoshopping skills or editing skills and put yourself together, okay? And you're going to get that photo and you're going to ring it around the jar so that it is facing inward, right? And then you're going to hang that photo from the inside of the jar, close it up, and you're all set to go.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Ali. That's a great one. How to make a picture jar. All right. Well, we're going to be right back after this next announcement, and we're going to do another reading. This is Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour.
And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. and by the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers. AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at rootersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionaries and independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling back into us from area code 541. This is Dragon. Dragon, are you there, caller?
I am. Hello.
Hi. Welcome back. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you're a loyal listener and that you're calling back into us, that you called back into us from last March. And thank you so much for, once again, being a loyal listener. Okay? And let's see. About this spring is when you call back in. And here we go. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for a host. And you're right. I'm having issues with my parents. I'm trying to set up boundaries but find them a bit strict. I feel very hurt about how little they handle me, and I find that whenever I share with them things about my life, it seems to sour whatever I had going on, as though they are bad luck or something. Am I being irrational about my boundaries? Turning it back over to you.
All right. Thank you. And Ms. Tammy Lee's phone is very choppy, so if you didn't hear that, I have a question for our caller, Dragon. You said that they find your boundaries a bit strict. In other words, you are being very boundaryful. Are you living in the same home?
No, I live halfway across the country, actually. They live in Nebraska.
Okay, so let me get a little fix on this. The boundaries that you're setting up are what? They cannot be on your Facebook friends, or they can't call you after 10 at night. What kind of boundaries are we talking about here?
I told them I don't like them to call more than once a week because I feel like they're calling me all the time. And I also asked that they not come out and visit me out in Oregon yet because I've only been out here for about a year and I'm still getting like my life kind of set up, and I'm not quite ready to entertain them in my home. And they find that really hurtful.
Okay, I understand. And all right, so understanding all of that, let's turn this reading over to Conjurman Ali.
I'm happy to do a reading. I have a question of my own. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking? You don't have
I'm
to 20. Be the exact age.
Oh, I'm 26.
You're 26. Okay. All right. I have pulled three cards here, and I think they speak quite clearly to this situation and what's going on. The very first card that I have is the Two of Pentacles. The Two of Pentacles shows us a person who's trying to juggle two coins. These coins are joined together, inextricably bound. They cannot be unbound to one another. And he's raising one, and the other one is lowered, and he looks like he's a little bit off balance. He's unable to really balance these two coins out. On the one hand, there is the desire to respect your parents and love your parents, and you don't want to hurt them. But you also want a level of autonomy, you want a level of independence, and you also want to be in control of your own life, so feel that you do have boundaries in your life. On the other hand, there's the balance between them. They want to love you. Their intention is in a good place. They want to be there. But you know, they want to give you, they need to give you some space. So this is the difficulty, finding that balancing point, right? Where you're comfortable mm-hmm. and they're comfortable, where you recognize what you need and you recognize what they desire and they need. And this is what the situation calls for. It calls for balance. That's what I have in the second card as well, the Temperance card. Here is an archangel, a solar archangel. And this archangel is standing next to a pool, and they have 1 foot in the pool, 1 foot on land, and they have golden cups in their hands from which they're pouring water, joining the cups together. In the background, mm-hmm. there is a golden crown that is rising. That talks about that you can find a balance, but the road may be a bit long, it may be a bit hard, and it may be windy. You're going to need to compromise here. You're going to need to find some level of balance. And you need to understand that your parents, while I respect your need for boundaries, are really coming from a good place. They are. But I don't think you're crazy for wanting boundaries. What's needed here is a level of finding, of walking a fine line. right? For example, it's okay to tell them, you know what, I'm not really settled in yet. Maybe you can visit at a different time. It's the approach towards that balance that's going to be very important, right? How you set those boundaries are going to be very important. Being harsh with them is not going to be successful, and it's only going to sour a very important relationship in your life. So taking a different approach to setting those boundaries is the first step. The second step is finding some level of compromise, right? Talking to them, communicating with them. They're telling them, you know what, I can't talk every week, but how about we set, I can't talk more than once a week, but how about we set up a specific time on Saturdays or Sundays where I video chat you or I call you and we can catch up and we talk. Remember that you're still at a young age and they're just curious about what's going on in your life. They want to see that you're doing well, and they do come from a good place, even if it may come a bit overbearing. The final card is the Queen of Wands. I do see that you'll be able to be successful here. The Queen of Wands is a powerful woman. Again, this is also a solar card. This is a very solar energy that I'm getting here, which might indicate the type of root work that you do or timing your root work to the sun is something to consider. This is a powerful woman sitting in her power on a throne. And she has a cat that is her protector, a staff in her hand that is her strength. But she also has a sunflower, which is gentleness and guidance. It follows the sun wherever it moves. So I do find that you will be successful in this case, but it's about having a deft and gentle hand in setting those boundaries, about recognizing their intent, their desire, as well as respecting your own desire for autonomy, finding a level of balance and compromise. And if you do that with that attitude of compromise, you know, loving them and being gentle, then I think you can get what you want while also respecting their desires. So I do find that you will be successfully able to navigate the situation, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, let's see what Professor Porterfield has to say on the question,
well,
is she being irrational about her boundaries?
First of all, hello, Dragon. Nice to have you here back after almost a year. And let me start by saying there's very little for me to say here outside of what my esteemed colleague has already said. He's spot on. And the cards I have in front of me tell me pretty much the same thing, but let's go through them quickly. What we've got here, first off, is we've got the Three of Diamonds, and it's bordered on its right hand by the Queen of Hearts and on its left hand by the Six of Diamonds. So, first of all, this is not as bad a situation as it might seem. This is generally a positive situation. This is coming from them out of a place of love and concern, which may be a little meddlesome, a little too heavy, a little more involved than you may like, which is often typical of some parents. The other thing I will immediately say about this is we've got Three of Diamonds, Six of Diamonds. This is about stability, money, material possessions. So that's what the concern here is about. Is she doing okay? Is she eating? Is she paying her rent, her lease, her mortgage? Is she making her car payments? Does she need us? Would she tell us if she needed us, etc.? But then, to get down to a little more specific here, the Three of Diamonds is a benefactor, help from others, and to act responsibly. This shows that the positive side of this is that they want to aid you in whatever way they can. They may not necessarily be ready to write a check today, but what they're looking at here, their concern comes out of a place of love and a desire to see you materially stable. Now, the less nice side of that is that there is a soft suggestion here, and I very much mean that word soft. This is a very positive card, so when we see the negative aspect of it, we have to understand that's way played down, and that is that they do softly think that you might not yet be as responsible as you could be, as prepared as you might need to be, that you might be a little irresponsible, in particular with matters involving money, but not with matters involving your heart or matters involving, oh, work or your work ethic or any of that. Now, on the left-hand side of that three, we have the Six of Diamonds. And the Six of Diamonds tells me that internally you're happy to be where you are. This is like, you know, the streets are paved with gold. You're happy to be where you are. To some extent, you're happy to be a little more distant from them. You're happy to be in a more urban environment than they're from. You see great opportunities around you, and you are correct. There are great opportunities around you. And some of those opportunities are opportunities and ways of living and paths of walking that they might not necessarily understand or might not be a part of their world, and that does cause some concern for you about, you know, ruffled feathers or judgments from them. But in the end, that will be fine. To the far right of our Three of Diamonds, we have our Queen of Hearts. And this tells me who's the main instigator here. It's Mama, okay? Here's the Queen of Hearts. The Queen of Hearts is, quote, the loving mother, all right? So she's the loving mother, the kind mother, a loving and sensitive woman, and at the end of the day, a fair woman. However, she wears her heart on her sleeve. She can be overly emotional. She can fly into panics. She can dream up all sorts of terrible things that are happening to her child when her child is not within the line of her eyesight, no matter if that child's 3, 13, 23, 33, 43, or 73, she's able of getting herself wound up, and she gets emotionally hurt about little bruises and little slights that other people would not regard as bruises and slights. So she's more problematic in this matter than your father, but the positive side is, again, this really does come out of a place of love. She's the Queen of Hearts. She's not the Queen of Spades. She's not sitting back home judging you, clucking her tongue, saying, oh, she was always like that. You know, you can never talk to her. She's back home saying, oh, what if she's getting in a van with someone she doesn't know? Now, it's an absurd thing to say, but, you know, that's the worry and the concern. So I agree with everything that Ali said to you about setting up those boundaries, but having that time with them and making that compromise. And overall, I see this as working out in a positive way. So there you go.
All right. You know, it's interesting because these two readings are similar in a way. And there are a couple of things here that I'd like to address in terms of root work. Number one, the very fact that this worries you and that you had to set up boundaries means that you grew up in a certain kind of family where you were not, let's say, weaned slowly into independence, but, you know, this came with a feeling of break and hurt. And it may be, in fact, as Professor Porterfield said, somewhat on your mother's side here, that she feels this despair or desperation. I'm going to give you some ideas about building up your strength according to that Queen of Wands that Ali had. So I'd like you to get the following things. I want you to get a Queen Elizabeth root. This is for your queenship. It's sometimes hard for a mother to realize her daughter has become the queen of her own house, right?
Okay.
So I want you to get a Queen Elizabeth root for yourself. Okay, that's a very nice smell. It's a very good root. I'd like you to get a few other roots that represent, or herbs that represent, female positivity. And I can tell you what a few of them are. You can pick and choose among them. One of them is called maidenhair fern. Hard to get it commercially. You have to find someone who has a maidenhair fern growing and dry the leaves. Not any kind of fern, just maidenhair fern, because it's for females. Another one, people will use Althea leaf. It is a female, but it also represents spiritual energy and can also be used to call upon any kind of healing or blessings. Another one is Angelica root, used in Chinese medicine for female health issues, and it is also, again, a female root. You just want to grind up a little bit of it. Everything you add to this Queen Elizabeth root should be in what I call a subsidiary or subordinate position. In other words, not another whole root. We're not making a roots bag with a bunch of whole roots. We're having one root. And everything else, ground up or cut or stuff. But the Queen Elizabeth root should not be powdered. it should be a whole root or a piece of a whole root. Sometimes the Queen Elizabeth root will be 8 inches long. You can't put that in a mojo bag. So you're just going to use either a small piece or a chunk, right? But it's going to be solid. Then you can put into this anything else, like I said, that is a female nature to it, but it must be small. It must be subservient. It must be comforting and helpful in its own way. And flax seed is sometimes used for children's health, and people use motherwort for the concerns of a mother. But you're going to be the dominator here, the Queen Elizabeth root. That is you, and you can put in these other things. You can use my book, Hoodoo Herb and Root Magic, to get a few other ideas about which roots and herbs are female. You're going to make a bag, and you're going to put all of those things in there. But before you do it, I'd like you to lay them out with our Queen Elizabeth root in the middle. And I want you to lay these other little pinches of things all around and call them out and say, this is your mother's concern, but I am the strong queen. And you bring that motherwort herb in, This is for the health of children. I am healthy. And you bring those little flax seeds in, you see? And you just keep on moving things in until you have them all together. You might want to do this on a paper so that you have them all together. And you're going to put them in, or you could do it on a cloth square and then tie that up and make a tied mojo. Not all mojos are in drawstring bags, and not all mojos are sewed closed. Some of them are just tied. But Queen Elizabeth root, that's you, and that's going to be at the center, right? And all of these are going to cling to you, right? You're going to be the powerful one. You want to smoke that in some incense. And the incense that I would use for it would be a mix of Crucible of Courage for your courage, a Peaceful Home for peace between the family members. And you mix that with the Crucible of Courage. And also, you might want to use something that strengthens you without being harmful to others, such as, power is a good one. Queen Elizabeth incense probably be the best. Any of the things that has some strength to it, you see. And then you're going to smoke that little mojo, and you can wear it on you, carry it, or keep it by the phone. If you talk to them on the phone, be fingering it while you talk to them, okay? That is a power mojo for a woman who needs to really bring her mother under her control in a nice way and make the mother understand that she is now the queen of her own reality, right? I hope that is helpful to you, and I think it'll be something that you could make and is not too difficult to make. Let's see, do you have anything else to add?
Yes, I would also suggest, in addition to the very fine work that you've just been given, you might want to add to that the 112th Psalm, particularly the second verse of the 112th Psalm, or you might also want to use, obviously you're not going to use the entire, but almost anything within the book of Esther is also going to be particularly good for you.
Yes, Esther the Queen. That's a very, very, that's a good thing. How about you, Ali? Do you have any add-ons here?
Those are all fantastic suggestions. The only thing I would suggest is when you do finally have them come out, use some peace water around the house to ensure that that good intentions are brought and that the home remains peaceful. Peace water is excellent for something like that.
That's a very good one. Very, very good. Anything that you send to them by mail, you might want to touch it with a little bit of Queen Elizabeth root powder. Let that be your signature scent on anything you send to them, okay? Queen Elizabeth root powder has a very nice scent all its own. You just dust it on. You don't need to have the sachet powder. Just use the root powder straight and send them anything. Oh, look, here's something I did, and here's a blah, blah, blah. And just send it to them, but dust it with that and blow the dust off, and they'll get it. They'll get it. You're the queen, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much
for
your call. Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with our guest, Charles Porterfield, and my co-host, Conjurman Ali, and this is me, Kat Ironwood. We'll be right back after this announcement with our free spell by Professor Porterfield.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times, comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burmeshave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
And up now, y'all, we've got our free spell section with Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. Professor Porterfield, sir.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Tammy Lee. Well, folks, as you know, today we're talking about petition papers, and as you also know, the professor loves him some cards, whether they're playing cards, tarot cards, greeting cards. Yeah, I love them all. And so today what I'm going to be giving you is a piece of work for the protection of a vehicle. Now, you should first know that the petition we're going to be writing out here or talking about in a little bit originally comes from the traditional Catholic blessing over a vehicle. And this was done yearly. This was done in Catholic parishes in the 1940s and 50s and was typically done around the feast day of St. Christopher, patron saint of the traveler. But with the calendar reforms of the late 1960s, his feast day was dropped, and so many of the parishes also got out of the custom of the day of blessing of cars, and so it just sort of disappeared. So this is going to take us back to that. Now, to start this, what you're going to do is you're going to get yourself card 8 of the Major Arcanum, the Chariot. You can either use a tarot card out of a deck that you don't mind losing a card out of, or you can print out a copy of that card. And that perhaps is the best because that gives you a nice, clean, white, blank backside for you to do your petition work. Now, once you have your card printed out and cut out, you're going to turn it over and write across its back the protection, the Catholic protection for a car, which is, O Lord God, bless this car, send your holy angels, so that all who ride in it may be delivered and guarded from every danger. And as you granted faith and grace to your deacon Philip and to the man from Ethiopia who was sitting in his chariot and reading Holy Scriptures, show that the way of salvation to your servants so that they may, after all the trials in their pilgrimages and life on earth, attain to everlasting joy through Christ our Lord. Amen. And you can find that online if you need to find it. All right? Because it's quite a lot to just say across the radio, isn't it? Now, you're then going to turn it back over and dress the card in a five-spot pattern, one dot in each corner and one in the middle with safe travel oil. And then onto that, you're going to place some feverfew, a comfrey root, and a plantain leaf onto it and wrap your little card, your petition, around it so that the herb and roots are all together, and then place that into a blue bag. You will then breathe into the bag, asking the Lord to protect your vehicle, tie it shut, dress or feed it, if you will, with safe travel oil, and place it either in the glove box or hang it from the rear view mirror. And this is to not only bring protection to the car and those who travel within it, but also to help aid people to, as an example, not engage in dangerous activities while they are in the car, speeding, texting, etc. So there you go.
Wow. I always love that one because I always wonder, what is this about the man from Ethiopia? What was that? You know,
Sitting in his chariot. Yeah.
He was the man from Ethiopia who was sitting in his chariot. It's like, huh, okay, got it.
Reading scriptures.
Reading scriptures. I know. It's just, it's a lovely spell. And that kind of old-fashioned Catholic work is really great stuff. Used to be where you could find that printed on a card, and you would clip it up to your, on your, what do you call those things? You know, the little fold-down window shades that cars have. You know, the little fold-down sunscreen window shade? Yeah. Sunscreen window shade thing. Yeah, you'd find that thing printed there, and people would have a little clip which had St. Christopher on it. It was a little metal clip, and you'd flip that thing. And when you went in their car, it would say, St. Christopher, protect me, and then you'd flip it down, and there'd be that prayer.
There would be.
All right. About the man from Ethiopia. He'd be in there.
And
car.
Here we're blending it with the chariot because the chariot master is controlling his two horses, as it were, his two sphinxes, with great care.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes.
It's a great adaptation and a wonderful way to work it. It takes it to a magical level, past the folk Catholic level. All right, sun visor, says Frank Rising. That's right, sun visor, the one word I could not remember. Okay. All right, well, we're going to turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to make some final announcements, and then we'll all come back and say goodbye in one chiming chorus. Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Aura LaForest of AuraLaForest.com in Quebec, Canada. And her topic will be successful love work. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time where you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Wonderful as always. Thank you, Professor Porterfield, for interviewing me there and letting me ramble and rave.
You're most welcome.
and convincing me I should be a guest on my own show. Thank you, Conjurman Ali, for being who you are. And now it's time for you to go back to your writing cave, and I'll go back to my writing cave.
Sounds like a deal.
It's a deal. And, folks, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is coming up sooner than you think. Time to buy your tickets. It's going to be May 16th and 17th, Forestville, California. Go to HoodooHeritageFestival.com. Get your tickets. We have many good workshops. We have books, 5 books coming out. There's going to be a presenter's banquet. You can meet all your favorite readers and root workers. Get readings, and, of course, you can have a good time with everybody who's here. All right, good night.
Good night, everyone.
Night.